Open your Bible with me this morning to the Gospel of John. John, the 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter. I want to look at the second half of Jesus' discussion here with those around him on this afternoon. And the next part in the series we've been calling Scoreboard, as we look at these statements that Jesus made. One of the things you discover if you look at the Word of God is that God isn't one much for debate. He simply states the facts and moves on. Him and old Sergeant Friday from Dragnet would have got along fine. You remember Friday, he always would say, just the facts, man. And if you look at the Bible starts out in Genesis. It just simply says, there was God. He doesn't debate God, doesn't explain God, doesn't ask your opinion of God. He just says that in the beginning God began to do these things and begins to move on. If you come to the Gospel of John, it does the same thing. In the beginning was the Word. No real discussion, no debate. There it is. Take it or leave it. And so that's by and large the way that the Word of God presents itself. It says, here is the truth. Again, as Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And there it is. I am the way. You either follow me or you don't. I am the truth. You're either, you're either with me or you're not. And so the Word of God is pretty straightforward and lays out the case. And in this story, and with these claims of Christ, Christ does the same thing. He says, "I am the bread. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd." Is the statement that he makes that we look at this morning. And he puts it out there, and he says, here it is. Do with it what you will. Accept it, reject it, whatever you want. But here is my claim. I am the good shepherd. Now, when he makes that statement, five simple words that are literally irreplaceable. When you take these five words and look at what Christ claims here when he says, I am the good shepherd. He makes a statement that is so simple, but yet so complex. When he says, I am. Again, the crowd that was gathered there that heard him make that statement would have understood immediately what he was saying, that he was using the same word, the same terminology that the Father had used back at the burning bush when Moses said to the Lord, said, who will I tell the Israelites? Who will I tell Pharaoh has sent me? And God said from that burning bush, he said, tell them, I am send you. And so they would have heard, I am the good shepherd. That's what they would have heard when they heard, I am the good shepherd. He doesn't say, I am a good shepherd. I am one of the good shepherds. He says, I am the good shepherd. That, again, is a word that you don't have to know Greek. You don't even have to know a great deal about English to understand what he says. When he says, I am the good shepherd, again, that is an arguable statement. He just lays it out. There it is. And then he says, the good shepherd. Now, the beauty of that simple statement is one that you and I, we may not quite catch up on. We understand good. We know the difference in good and evil, good and bad. We know the difference in those two words. But again, a lot like the word love that we talk about sometimes when we look at the Word of God. We know that in English we use the word love kind of in a rather unique way. We will put the word love in a lot of sentences. I love chocolate. I love my dog. I love my kids. I love my job. I love my particular football team or baseball team. We love a lot of things, and most of us are smart enough that when we hear somebody say, I love mama, and we hear somebody say, I love the Panthers, we understand the difference. We know that there is a difference in that love. And the Greeks would have had a different word. They had several different words for love, and they would have used a different word based on what they meant. I like the Panthers, or you are my friend, or I love you. And the word good here is one that, to be honest with you, we use a lot the same way. There are a lot of things that are good in our life. We might sit down and eat a meal and say, man, this is a really good steak. We might, go to a church service and say, man, the choir did a really good job this morning. Or we might go to a ball game and say that was a good ball game. And I think all of us kind of know the difference in those statements. And then we may go so far as to say, well, he is a good person. And we understand there's a difference in a good ball game and a good person. We know that they're just by the context of the sentence, by the statement. We know that they're talking about something different. And, even then, we may not completely understand. Jason may say, well, that was a good game. And to him, that means that his team won by 50. I may say it was a good game, and to me that means it was a close game, and it came down to a last second score to determine who won. And so good is one of those words that's kind of, it's all kind of in the eye of the beholder. Somebody woke up and whip out a picture of their wife or their children or something and say, isn't she pretty? And you're like, yeah. And so it's all in the eyes of the beholder. And good is a lot that way. You might walk up to Tommy today and say, Tommy, it's a good day, isn't it? And Tommy might say, no, it's terrible. And yet to you it's good. And so good is a moving target. But the word good that is used here really isn't a moving target at all. The word, when he says, I am the good shepherd, the word that he uses there is a word that, again, nothing about good that all of us know is something, that something can go from good to bad just like that, right? It can start out as a good song and right in the middle of, right there, it is terrible. It can start out as a good sermon, it can start out as a good day and, immediately take a turn. Good is one of those things that, that all of us, we work at. There's not a parent in here that at some point in raising their children hasn't said to their child, maybe they took them to the babysitter or took them to school or something, and when they dropped them off, they looked at them and said, what? You be good. Why do we tell them to be good? Because we know they have the potential to not be. We know that in them is the ability to not be good. In all honesty, we know that given just free rein, that in all likelihood, they won't be good. Some of y'all are looking at your children. That in them is the inherent ability to be anything but good. You never have to tell your children, now here, when you go to school today, I want you to be bad. You don't, do you? You don't have to tell them that. Nobody has ever told you, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to be bad. We all have to be told to be good. Do a good job. Be good. We have to be encouraged to be good because in us is the ability, the natural tendency, if you will, to be bad, to do bad. I saw a sign the other day that said the only reason that some people are still alive is because it's against the law to shoot them. It's in our nature to be bad. That's just the way we're born. That's a biblical fact. We are born in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is a biblical fact. That's just not my observation or my opinion. That is a biblical fact. All of us, we have to be told to be good, not to be bad. Nobody taught you to lie. No one taught you to steal. It's just, boom, it's just our nature, our sinful nature. But the word that Christ uses here, when he says, I am the good shepherd, doesn't mean that someone has told him to be a good shepherd. The word that he uses there is just the opposite. It means that just like it is in our nature to be bad, it is in his nature to be good. The word that he uses there means that he is inherently the good shepherd. He knows no other way to be but to be the good shepherd. He knows no other way. He knows no other method except to be good. That's what he says there. He says, I am the good. He says, that's the only way I know to be. I don't know of another way. And then he says, the good what? The good shepherd. Now, you and I today, most of us, we've kind of moved past the idea of tending animals. Some of you may have at some point in your life, but we've seen enough cowboy movies, we've read enough books, we know what a shepherd is. We know their function. We know that their job is to take care of the animals, to feed the animals, to tend the animals, to mend the animals when they're sick, when they're hurt. We know what a shepherd is. And so Christ says here, I am the good shepherd. And every one of those words matters. I am. He's identifying himself with God. The, not a, not one of, I am the good, not mediocre, not trying to be good, not almost good. I am the good, only one, shepherd. He says, that's my job. And so it's amazing when you take this statement and any one of those words you remove totally changes. I am a good shepherd. I am good. Good what? And so every one of these words is extremely important in this statement. I am the good shepherd. Now, when we take that statement, I want to take that statement this morning, and I want to kind of pull it apart with a little bit of reasoning, with a little bit of logic. I believe Sherlock Holmes, in his books, was one of the first ones to really introduce us to this kind of thinking, this kind of logic. And it simply is the idea that if I walk into this room, and when I walk up here, and laying on this pulpit is a plate with a slice of apple in that plate, I can, from that slice of apple, make several other reasoning, several other thoughts that have to be true because there's a slice of apple laying here. If there is a slice of apple laying on this pulpit, then I can successfully reason from there that somewhere there's an apple. Right? Part of an apple. Somewhere there is, at some point in time, there has been an apple. True? If from there, if because there is a slice of apple, I can reason that somewhere there is an apple, then if somewhere there is an apple, somewhere there's what? Person who cut it? The apple core is in the apple. A knife? What's the obvious? If there is an apple, there's an apple tree. If there is an apple tree that is giving off apples, then there has to be what? More apples and more apple trees. It's just the way it works. And so, Sherlock Holmes kind of introduced us to that. And if we see one thing from there, we can reason out several other things. And I want to do that this morning in this statement, I am the good shepherd. And I want to look at the implications. What does it mean when Christ says, I am the good shepherd? Very simple, very quick this morning. There's one simple statement, two things that I want you to draw from this statement. There's more, but two I want to point out this morning. If I am the good shepherd, and when Christ says that, there is something that we can reason, there is some logic that we can take from the statement that I am the good shepherd. That if there is a good shepherd, then what? Then there must be a bad shepherd. Otherwise, there would be no reason for him to point out that he was the good shepherd. But if there is a good shepherd, then there must be a bad shepherd. And so that's a simple logic. He would have never said, I am the good shepherd. He would have just said, I am the shepherd, because there was nothing to compare him to. And so for him to say, I am the good shepherd, then there must be a bad shepherd. There's not another good shepherd. There's not another shepherd close. He says, I am the good shepherd. There must be a bad shepherd. And so if those two statements are true, and I think experience, I think the Word of God, I think the daily news, I think the newspaper, the television news, all of those tell us that statement is true. I think it's not a matter of just reasoning, not a matter of just logic, that if there is a good shepherd, there must be a bad shepherd. All you have to do is look around, and all you've got to do is turn on the news. All you've got to do is pick it up and see that we're killing in the street, that we're aborting children, that we're killing our parents, our grandparents, that crime is everywhere, that churches are folding, that everywhere we look. I think it's obvious that statement is true. That if there is a good shepherd, there must be a bad shepherd. And I think from that, then we can continue to use a little bit of logic. That there are obviously, according to what Christ says, He says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. He says, I know who my sheep are. That if the good shepherd has sheep, if there is a good shepherd that has sheep, then the bad shepherd has sheep. Okay? Or the biblical word would be the bad shepherd has goats. Yeah. If there is a good shepherd and a bad shepherd, and the good shepherd has sheep that follow him, then the bad shepherd has sheep that follow him. And so from that, then here's the ultimate question. Who are you following? Who are you following? You're following one or the other. It's that simple. See, we have bought into a lie. One of the lies that is destroying the church chip by chip, so just step by step, is this mindset of it does not matter what you believe as long as you believe something. When Christ clearly says, I am the good shepherd, you are either following the good shepherd or the bad shepherd. You're either doing, it makes it very clear, Christ makes it very, very clear. You're either doing the will of the Father or you're not. You're either His disciple or you're not. You're either being obedient or you're not. You're either doing His will or you're not. There is no middle ground. There is no third option. There is no alternative plan. There is no plan C. It's either you're following the good shepherd or the bad shepherd. You're either following His lead or following the lead of Satan. It really is that simple. When Christ says, I am the good shepherd, there is some logic, there is some obvious facts that there are some choices we make that fall out of that statement. I am the good shepherd, and so therefore we have to ask ourselves, who are we following? Whose sheep are we? Which flock are we in? Which one are we in? Now, here's what concerns me. I use this illustration. Some of you may or may not know Hannah, but Don and Carol had this big old dog, and it's Don's dog. Don and Hannah are tight. He loves Hannah. But over in their kitchen, they've got a little stand, and underneath that stand, they've got kind of one of these glass jars like you might have used to seen in an old candy store or something, where you pull off the lid and get out a piece of candy. The only thing is in their candy jar are Hannah's treats. Now, old Hannah might be laying over there with Don. She loves Don. But if I go to the kitchen and I rattle the lid on that treat jar and I pull out a treat, Hannah will abandon Don like cockroaches off a sinking ship. Okay? Now, it's Don's jar. In Don's house, he even bought the treats. But I can lure Hannah over to my side with the truth. Do you understand the good shepherd and the bad shepherd? That you might set out in your heart to follow the good shepherd, but the bad shepherd, Satan himself, every day you wake up, is rattling the treat jar. Amen. Every day. From the moment you open your eyes in the morning and your feet hit the floor, all day long, Satan is going around going, here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. I don't know how you call sheep. You know, here, sheepy, 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 sheepy. You know, here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. You know, and he's a master at it. You know, I don't know if you've ever tried to round up animals or anything. I don't know if you've ever had to tend animals. Any of you ever been around animals and the cow got out? If your cow's ever got out, what do? You don't go out and find the cow and throw her up over your shoulder and drag her out and toss her over the fence. Now you might, but you more of a man than anybody in my neighborhood was. You know, what do? You lure the cow back in, don't you? You want to get an animal back in the cage, what do? You lure them. You put a little food down. And you just kind of walk them back to the cage. You walk them. And finally, when they get inside the gate, what do? You slam the gate and they're caught. Satan operates, the bad shepherd operates the same way. Christ says, follow me. And the good shepherd says, follow me. And the bad shepherd says, come on. You know, it's kind of cartoonish. But I think about it. And you get down to it. You remember those old cartoons? You know, they don't have good cartoons anymore. All them crazy things they got now. But back in the day of Bugs Bunny, remember what they'd do? Right up on your shoulder. There'd be that angel sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other. Saying, you do this, no, you do this. No, you do this. Listen, that may be cartoonish and that may be Looney Tunes, but I want to tell you something. Every day of your life, you go through life every day and you're faced with that simple, everyday battle of right or wrong. I'm going to follow God or I'm going to not follow God. It's just that simple. It really is. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to follow? It's a real simple logic question. You know, if there are two shepherds, which one are you going to follow? Which one are you going to be obedient to? Which one, are you going to follow the one that rattles the treat cage? You know, every one of us have been there. You go through life, and every one of us, it may have not been today, it may have not been yesterday, it may have not even been this week. But sometime in your lifetime, you've come along, and you've been faced. Do I tell a lie, or do I tell the truth? Do I tell a lie, or do I tell the truth? You know, which one? Which way do I go? What do I say? What do I do? You know, every day we're faced with that battle. And Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. If there is a good shepherd, there is a bad shepherd. Which one are you following? There is logic that we have to do, and there is a lesson that we have to hear. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's how good the good shepherd is. Let me show you the difference in the two shepherds. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Do you know what God says about the other shepherd, the other leader? He says he comes seeking whom he may devour. Says he comes but for what? To steal, kill, and destroy. You talk about a massive difference in the two. This is, you know, there is such an obvious difference in these two shepherds. And the lesson is very simple when we stop and think about the logic of it. The lesson is this. Again, we have to make a decision. Which way are we going to go? Which one are we going to follow? Every day, every choice. Here's a lesson that really needs to sink into our hearts and minds. Here's what it boils down to. Christ says, I am the good shepherd. That's it. Not one of the good shepherds, not a good shepherd, I'm it. The Bible makes it very clear that there is one man that Satan is seeking whom he may devour. It makes it very clear that there are two choices. And what an impact, what a change it would make on our nation, what a change it would make on our churches, what a change it would make on us if we let that sink in our old hard heads. Listen, we divide up. I don't even begin to know the different ways we divide up. Rich, poor, northerners, southerners, Americans, foreigners, you know, we divide up. Even in America, black, white, Indian, Hispanic, you know, we divide up in a million different ways. Got hair, don't have hair, blonde, brunette, redhead. We divide up old, young, male, female. We divide up in a million ways. Jew, Arab, we are Republican, Democrat, Independent, don't like none of them. You know, we divide up in all kinds of different ways. But here's what this statement says to you and I am the good shepherd. The logic is there must be a bad shepherd. And the lesson is this. We can divide up however we want to. But I want you to understand something that ought to change us and transform us. The day will come when there won't be but two divisions. Those that know Him and those that don't. We can divide up by social standing. We can divide up by where we live, zip code, area code. We can divide up by hair, no hair, hair color, beard, no beard, skin color, how much money you got, don't got, where you work or don't work. We can divide up every way you want to. But the day is going to come. Jesus Christ is going to step out of the clouds just over there on the east. And He's going to call His people home. And all those divisions are going to be gone. And it's going to be the sheep and the goats. It's going to be those that followed the good shepherd and those that rejected the good shepherd. And the quicker we get that through our skulls, the more of an impact we'll make in our society. The church has decided that there are some issues that we need to be involved in. And now, don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. We have divided up over some really important issues. We have divided up over the marriage issue, who should and shouldn't get married. We've divided up over abortion. We've divided up over homosexuality. We've divided up over all kinds of things that are, do not misunderstand me, don't misquote me, this is recorded so I can prove what I'm saying. It's not that they are not important. It's not that we shouldn't take a biblical stance on the issues. But the most important issue is not where somebody stands on marriage. It's not where they stand on homosexuality or anything else that is the latest, greatest cause in the church. The most important issue is whether that person knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Whether they know the Good Shepherd. Because here's what I know. If you introduce someone to the Good Shepherd and they come to know Him as their Savior, all those other issues will eventually straighten themselves out. But if you try to get somebody right on marriage and whatever else, and they're not right with Christ, it won't stick. It won't stay. It's like putting paint on a rusty car. It'll look good for a while, but it'll flake. The rust will come through. It's got to be a change from the inside out. I am the Good Shepherd. There's logic to it, and there's a lesson. That our job is not to change the way the sheep think. Our job is not to change where the sheep graze. Our job is to introduce the sheep to the shepherd. That's our job. There is a piece of logic here. There are some implications, but there is an invitation. It's this simple. Very simple. You're either following Him or you're not. He says, "My sheep know My voice." You're either His or you're not. I pray today that you have not bought in to the popular lie that so many even in the church are buying into. And that is, believe something and you'll be all right. I recently saw some numbers that said, listen, who I'm talking about. 50% of the people who say they have trusted Christ as their Savior, not 50% of the American population, not 50% of people, 50% of those who say they are Christian say that they do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Let that sink in a minute. Of people who say they have put their faith in Christ to get to heaven, half of them say it doesn't matter what you believe. Now let's think that through for a moment. You want to go from Charlotte to Atlanta. And you make your way over to Douglas Airport. And you walk up to the ticket agent. And say, "I want to go to Atlanta. I need to get on a plane that will take me to Atlanta." And that ticket agent hands you a ticket. and says, just take this and walk down through that wing right there, or that wing over there, or that wing over there. And you just walk down through there, and the first person you see that works for an airport, first person you see that works for one of the airlines, just tell them you want on a plane. And the first plane you come to, you get on it. How many of you would take that ticket agent's advice? You know that if you want to go to Atlanta from Charlotte, you take your ticket and you look at it, and it says you go to such and such wing, such and such terminal, to such and such gate, and you get on flight 329 that leaves the airport at 8:45. You don't go down through there and find the first pretty plane. You don't go down through there and say, let me see all the pilots. I want to see which one I believe is the most trustworthy. Might not be a bad plan, but I want to see which one of them is sober based on the news lately. You know, you don't do that. You get a specific ticket for a specific flight going to a specific location. Why in the world would you think you can get to heaven any other way? If you want to get there, you follow the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. The logic, the lesson this morning, the invitation, the implication is this. There is a good shepherd. There is a bad shepherd. You're following one. You're not in the middle. You're not sitting there going, well, I just haven't made my mind up yet. You've made your mind up right then. You've made your mind up. You're either following the good shepherd or you're not. There is no middle flock over here. You're following one or the other. That's it. You hear today and you're thinking, well, I'm as good as Tommy. I'm as good as Ryan. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And that's not what he says. My sheep know my voice and follow me. You hear today and you don't know Christ as your shepherd, as your Savior. You need to come this morning and let us show you from God's Word how you can know the shepherd. How you can quit wondering, quit hoping, quit guessing. Nothing breaks my heart, nothing scares me any worse than to hear somebody say, I hope I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven. I'm trying to go to heaven. Listen, the sheep know His voice. They don't hope they know His voice. They know His voice. You're here today and you're not sure. You're not positive. You need to come and let us show you from God's Word how you can know you're a child of God. How you can know you're His. You don't have to leave here today long wondering any longer. You can know. Christians, you're here. You're here and you're like Don's old dog. Every now and then, Satan rattles the treat jar and you go the other direction. You need to come this morning, you need to kneel and say, Lord, I want to follow You. I like that old song, it's wherever He leads, I'll go. We lie half the time when we sing it, but I like that song. I'll follow Him. I'll follow Him. I want to ask you to bow your heads, just you and God for one moment. You're here today, and you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. There is some logic. There is a lesson to this statement. I am the good shepherd. There is a bad shepherd. And you are following one or the other. You're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ. You're not part of His flock. You're not part of His family. You're not one of His. You need to come. You need to kneel. Let us show you. Me, Tommy, Martin, somebody will show you clearly from God's Word how you can know. You're a lady, we'll find Debbie, Diane, somebody. You want to talk to whoever today. Don't wait. I don't believe we got many days left. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you. Like I would a sheep. Don't get out in the woods. The wolves are everywhere. Today is the day. Don't leave here without knowing Jesus Christ is your Savior. Some of you have been in church all your life. Not asking you if you've been hanging out with sheep. Asking you if you're following the shepherd. You don't know Christ. Today is the day. You hear, you say, Jimmy, I know I'm a Christian, but I know I've drifted away from the shepherd. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm not following His voice. I'm not doing His commandments. And this morning I need to come and ask Him to forgive me. And I need to ask Him to help me to follow Him. Whatever God lays on your heart this morning as He speaks to you,